Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let them have dominion over all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. That, you may be seated, that was written to Adam before his fall. And we now, once we got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, are supposed to supplant and supposed to take the place of the original Adam. Because of the last Adam, Christ Jesus, we are now in a new place. And we have suddenly become more powerful than the rest of the people on this planet. You know, it's amazing when you realize that God does not necessarily choose the best people or the most talented people. He chooses those that are willing. And the devil would try to make us have little or no confidence and point out our weaknesses. But when you read the Word of God and you see these superstars of the Bible, you have to realize they didn't start out that way. They're men of like passions, the Bible said. They're just like you, just like me. They're not superstars. There are people that God put his anointing on, and they did supernatural things. And when you realize that, you can become very contented with who you are and not look at other people and say, oh, I want to be like them. You ever see somebody and say, oh, man, when Colonel Brown was here, I thought he was just awesome. He was well-educated. He was handsome. He's about that much taller than me. I just thought he was awesome. I said, man, I want to be like him. But the truth is, I just want to be me. You know, people come up to me regularly, and Brandon did not believe this until he was with me for a few days. People come to me all the time. They say, you look like Alec Baldwin. And I say, that might not be a good thing. Alec's not the sweetest guy that I've ever seen. And so they do that all the time. So I was in the mall. I shared this one time before. I was in the mall one time, and this black brother came up to me, and he said, you know who you look like? Exactly. I said, Alec Baldwin. He said, no, John Hagee. And that was when I knew that white people all look the same to black people. I knew that at that moment. But wow, I took that as a compliment because I am John Hagee's biggest fan. What he does around the world is mind-boggling. So I took that as a compliment, but I wouldn't trade places with him. I'm just glad to be me. But I am the best me I've ever been, but I'm not the best me I'm going to be. Because God takes inferior people and calls them to do serious things. From domination to dominion is what I want to talk to you about. And I want to talk to you about a man named Simon Peter. Simon Peter was amazing the way he finished, but he didn't start too good. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. It just matters where you're going and how you're going to finish. And when Jesus said, it is finished, that included you. You can finish big and strong no matter where you started. Jesus said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, God doesn't see you as you are, but he sees you as you're going to be. And even the devil doesn't see you as you are. The reason why he's fighting you at your weakness, at your weakest, is because he sees you at your strongest, and he's trying to prevent you from ever being there. The devil was not concerned with Simon where he was at that moment, but he saw him in the book of Acts. He saw what he was about to become, and he was trying to prevent it. I'm going to tell you, some of you have got such a great future in the Lord. You're not there yet, but the devil's fighting you like you already were because he knows where you're headed, and you're headed for victory, and you're headed for dominion, and you're headed for power, and you're headed for accomplishment and the Word of God being accomplished in you. And then Jesus said to him, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said, when thou art converted. Peter was following Jesus, but he still wasn't saved. There's a lot of people today that are following Jesus that are not saved. They're following principles of Christ, but they're not saved. People ask me about politicians and movie stars and various people that will confess Christ publicly and their lives don't line up. What it is, they've embraced the principles of Christ, but they haven't fallen in love with the person of Christ. So Peter was following Jesus, but Jesus said, future tense, when thou art converted, future tense, it's going to happen. Peter declared that he, Simon, was going to be changed from a reed to a rock. In fact, he changed Peter's name for that very purpose, so that everybody would know, this man has changed. This man has transformed. When you get in Christ, your past no longer matters because your present and your future eclipse your past. And that was true with Peter. Peter was a man that was dominated by the devil. As much as he tried, he was dominated by the devil. In fact, when Christ began to prophesy to his disciples and say, bad things are going to happen to me, I'm going to be tried, tested, rebuked, scorned. I'm even going to be crucified. Peter, the Bible said that Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked Jesus. You've got to be some character to rebuke Jesus, you know? Peter did. And how did Jesus respond? He said, Satan, get behind me. He called Peter Satan. He said, Satan, get behind me. You don't even know what you're talking about. And so Peter made all these great boasts because he was a follower but not saved. And when Jesus was taken to the crucifixion, Peter would be there. And it wasn't a Jesuit priest. It was not the Pharisees. It was not the high order of religion. It was just a little maiden that dominated him. And she said, you're one of them. Peter said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. Three times. And finally, he just threw a hissy fit. I mean, he just went to cussing. And he said, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of Jesus' followers. This is the guy just a few chapters before was telling Jesus, no matter what you go through, I'll be there to help you and prevent it. And Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. Everything Jesus said to Peter was in future tense. Everything Jesus said about the church was in future tense. He said, I will build my church. When thou art converted, tarry until you're filled. You shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus spent the gospel talking about future tense. He spoke to them and breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. It didn't happen there. It was future tense. None of this happened until they obeyed Christ. And he said, follow the man with the pitcher. He'll take you to an upper room that's furnished. Tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And then the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared a cloven tongues that set upon each of them, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That was what Jesus had been talking about all through the Gospels, because he knew that Simon was going to become the Apostle Peter at that moment. He was going to be dramatically changed and transformed. And somebody asked me, said, what is your greatest concern about the present church? And I said, even 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when I started preaching, the transformation in people's lives was greater than it is now. When people came to those altars and those little churches all over this United States that I preached in, when they came back that next night, they were different people. They were transformed. I see so many people that are following Jesus, but I don't see the transformation. And so I have to join with Jesus and said, when thou art converted, something's got to transform you. And something transformed Peter from that reed that he was to the rock that Christ prophesied that he would be. He had a personality change. Don't tell me that your personality can withstand the power of the Holy Spirit. It can't. Don't tell me that your race can, our culture withstands the power. No, no culture. They were of all cultures in Acts 2. It doesn't matter about your color, your culture, your personality, your wealth, your lack of wealth, your education. You said, I'm not sure I am qualified. Well, here's two qualifications. Are you ignorant and unlearned? That's what they said about Peter. They perceived he was ignorant and unlearned. Doesn't mean he was stupid. It meant he simply was not highly educated. And unlearned meant he had never been to seminary. He didn't understand the Jesuit. He didn't understand the Old Testament. A lot of things he didn't understand. They didn't perceive that. And the reason why they were amazed by his ignorance and the fact that he was unlearned is because of what he was doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage every young person in this building to get a PhD. I mean, go to school, get educated. It looks wonderful on your resume. It impresses people. But I would hasten to tell you that don't have a PhD, that will in no way limit you in God's kingdom. Because God will take anybody that will surrender their will to him, and he will empower them to where they will have dominion. I told you about Maria that used to come to this church. She works now in the University of Indiana, and she trains people that have doctorates. That's her job. She meets with the people that are getting doctorates at the Indiana University. And she said the first thing she does is she stands up in front of them and says, my name is Maria, and I have a high school education. And I'm here to help you. And they're working on their doctorates. What she has that they don't have is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And she has a job that they just keep raising her and they won't let her quit. And she has a high school education teaching at the University of Indiana to doctoral students. That is simply amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, when you get filled with God's presence, there is no limitation. The limits are taken off of you. Repent, he said. Something happened to Peter. What was it? This man that cussed and denied Christ has now been transformed because he has repented. What does that do? That breaks the old covenant. He has been baptized. That gives you the name, and he's been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is a transformed man. He is simply a different individual. And so I want to tell you that this person that denied Christ became the keynote speaker of the church. And what that does, that eliminates every excuse in this building. Because if you will submit yourself to God, God will transform you and give you a place in God's kingdom that is absolutely phenomenal. And so when the day of Pentecost was come, 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, but there were many more that were not, thousands of them. Who was it that took charge? It was Peter. Something had transformed him. The Bible said Peter stood up with the 11 and preached a little message, and when he did, 3,000 souls got baptized. And the 11 did not contradict Peter, even though he was probably the less educated one out of the entire 12. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that God showed me today, this morning, early this morning, the Holy Spirit showed me a new vision for this church. It was alive with the Holy Ghost. This place was packed from rafter to rafter. This altar was filled with throngs of people. They were getting saved. They were getting healed. They were getting out of wheelchairs. And I know America's Got Talent. And some of you really like that show. I'm going to tell you, as an untalented person, I don't like the show. I find it intimidating, so I just turn it over to something that doesn't intimidate me. America's Got Talent. And so now the church is the same way. America's Got AGT. The church has got talent. CGT. The church has got talent. If you look at the great churches in America, and I say this not in a derogatory or critical way, it's CGT. The church has got talent. The church has got technology. The church has got television. That's the way every major mega church in America has been built. And so we call a mega church one that has a few thousand. Well, I've got some sad news for you. 15 or 20 mega church in America with 3,000 or 4,000 are not going to change this world. Something greater has to happen. And I'll tell you what it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be the church has got power. We can't compete with the world in talent. They've got it all. And when we get somebody with talent, they offer them so much money that they leave the church and backslide because they can't withstand the temptation. So we are not to compete with the world with talent. But friend, we have got something that the world does not have. We are Apostle Peter. We were nothing. But praise God, he picked us up, an ignorant, unlearned fisherman, and made him a force that turned the world upside down. And this man that was so dominated by everybody, he was dominated by a little girl that said, "You're one of them," and just totally frustrated him. This man becomes a dynamo of power. Simply because something had happened to him, and the same thing that happened to him can or has happened to you, and you should not be dominated by anybody, but praise God, you ought to be walking in dominion and power. And when Peter walked out of that upper room, he was a transformed, changed man, and the first thing he does is get his buddy John and go to church. And there's a man sitting at the gate, beautiful, and he has been sitting there all of his life. He is lame from his mother's womb. I find this interesting. This man was in a prominent position, had been sitting there so long, year after year, and Jesus Christ himself had passed this man perhaps dozens or hundreds of times, and the lame man is still sitting there. There's a reason why Christ left that for Peter to do. There's things that Christ is leaving for you to do. Greater works than these shall you do. The dead, lifeless Christian church of America is not fulfilling God's commandment. We are supposed to be the salt and the light. We're supposed to have power over demons and devils. We're supposed to tread on serpents. We're supposed to cast out devils. We're supposed to heal the sick. We're supposed to raise the dead. Peter looked at him, and the Bible said that man looked back expecting to receive something. Peter said, "Silver and gold have we none." Somebody said, "The church can't say that anymore. Trinity Broadcasting Network is worth billions of dollars, billions of dollars." My friend, he went on to be in heaven now, Marcos Lamb, told me that they made in 1 year, beyond their expenses, $50 million. Cleared $50 million. Marcus told me that. We were playing golf. He said, "Steve, we made, cleared $50 million last year." That's 1 year. Marcus is in heaven now. So the church can no longer say, "Silver and gold have we none." But somebody said, we can also not say, "Pick up your bed and walk. You're healed." Friend, we cannot sacrifice the power of God for talent, presentation, method, ingenuity, technology, or money. More than any of those things, we need something that is accessible to the most feeble person in the pew, to the youngest person in the church, to the oldest person in the congregation. It's available to us all. They said, "We can't do what you did, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall you do. But these come not out by prayer and fasting." And my question is, are we just going to be a normal church and let our families, our generation, and our world go to hell? Or are we going to come to what God has called us to be, people that are able to dominate every situation? Are we able to transform our self from a Simon to an Apostle Peter? Because the power of God is available in our life. And so Peter looked at that man and said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have." What do you have? I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a covenant with Christ. I'm no longer in covenant with the devil. I've repented. I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a name that is above every name. I don't come in the name of Living Way or Steve Fender or Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic. I come in the name, and the Bible said that name is above every name. Everybody in heaven and earth is named in that name, the whole family of God. That name is Jesus. And every, at that speaking of that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, every angel stands in allegiance, every demon fears and trembles and falls down. There is a name that is above all names, and I wear that name. I have that name. Such as I have, give I thee. Not only do I have the name, I'm covered from that hair that's sticking up right there to the soles of my feet with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is not a sin that is greater than the blood of Jesus. Not adultery, not lying, not stealing, not homosexuality. Nothing is greater than the blood. Oh, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Oh, happy day when it wash my sins away. Silver and gold have I none. It doesn't matter. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I don't push people down in these altars. If you fall, it's because you fell. In fact, we want you to know how to fall, when to fall, where to fall. Make sure you got the Holy Ghost between you and the floor when you fall, or you're going to end up right over here in the EMS. I don't push people down. I don't even lift people up. But Peter did. The Bible said he reached out and pulled him up. And as they did, the strength came into his man's ankles. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the timid one. This was the dominated one. This was the fearful one. This is the one that could be intimidated by a teenager. But suddenly he's got the power to say, rise up and walk. Something happened to him between his denial and that experience, and it was the power of the upper room, the power of Pentecost. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you're in this church and you're not down to the first church of the frozen is because you are special, you're called, you're hungry, you desire, you want to be empowered, you want to feel the presence of God. You cannot be fulfilled with a sermon and a song. You're hungry for God's presence. And ladies and gentlemen, in 48 years, we've seen a lot. But can I beseech you, beg you, ask you that we not settle on our leaves, that we say what is behind us is great, but we cannot settle for what has been, for we are still a hungry people, a hopeful people, a holy people, a hungry people that are saying, God, we must have your power, your spirit. Such was Simon Peter. The man rose up. The strength came into his body. He'd been sitting there for years. He'd watched Jesus go by a dozen times and not been moved. But when he came in contact with a Holy Ghost-filled Apostle Peter, he was transformed just as Peter did. He went to church, sat down quietly on the back row, and never shared his testimony with anybody. That's not exactly what happened. The Bible said he went to the temple, and he walked in, and then he began to leap and praise God. And everybody knew him. Out on I-10, in 1604, there's a little drug-addicted woman that stands there every day begging for money. Every day, the same woman. I saw her yesterday. I'll see her today. She's there every day. She's known by her addiction. She's known by her poverty. This man at the Gate Beautiful was known by his crippleness. But he went walking and leaping and praising God. And everybody clapped their hands and said, that's great. No, they didn't. They took the disciples and said, you're ignorant and you're unlearned and you ought to know better. And how are you doing these things? And Peter began to preach to them Jesus And he said, it's by the power of the name of Jesus. This is what happened to me. They beat them and finally turned them loose. And when the disciples left, the Bible said they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to bear the shame of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a day coming to the church where we are not going to sit orderly in pews and go through our forms and fashion, but before Christ comes, there's going to be a rebirth of the Book of Acts church. We're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, unstop the deaf ears, cure the lame legs. Ladies and gentlemen, you are something special. That's the reason why God has called you out of all the churches in San Antonio. God's called you, for you are a candidate for transformation. And God said, I'm going to make you something. And you're going to say, but I'm not worthy. Look where I came from. And he's going to say, look where I found Simon Peter. He was a failing fisherman that couldn't even cuss right. And I made him the speaker of the birthday of the church. And I am going to transform you to where you're going to get your family saved. Your mother-in-law is going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Your husband is going to get healed. Your father-in-law is going to be delivered. God is going to use you because you are going to come to the dominion and the power that God has promised his church in this last day.